listening to an extra shot episode on the Project Zion podcast, a shorter episode that lets you get your Project Zion fix in between our full-length episodes. It might be shorter time-wise, but hopefully not in content. So regardless of the temperature at which you prefer your caffeine, sit back and enjoy this extra shot.
Welcome to Project Zion Podcast and Coffee in the Swarm. This is Mike Hoffman. I'm campus minister at Graceland University. And today I have with me Georgia Seagraves, who is going to be the Council of House Chaplains president next year at Graceland University. And we'll talk a little bit about what her responsibilities are. But welcome, Georgia.
Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Very good. Thanks for being here. So, Georgia, tell us a little bit about yourself, like what your majors are and what's going on and, you know, those kinds of things, if you will. So,
of course. I'm going into my last year at Graceland University.
But now that's your third year, right?
That is, yes. Okay, I'm finishing a year early.
All right. Very, very impressive. So.
I'm double majoring in Hispanic studies and international studies with a minor in political science. I'm an ordained priest in the Community of Christ.
Thank you.
I belong to the Sierra Pacific Mission Center, and I'm the oldest sister of three girls.
Ah, yes. Yes. do your sisters plan to come to Graceland, or do you know that yet? Or do they know that yet?
One of them is 13, so she's not really thinking about that yet. But the other one is going into her senior year of high school, and I think she has her heart set somewhere else this time.
Oh.
I know.
That's okay. I do understand that, so... Very good. Well, I appreciate knowing a little bit more about you, although we work together, on the next year, especially that you've been serving on campus ministries already. So, there's a lot going on in our world right now. And that's one of the things I think that we wanted to share about is some of the perspectives you have on what's going on in the United States and around the world. Obviously, COVID-19, the pandemic, has really thrown a loop in for all kinds of things. But how has it affected you or how would you talk about that?
Well, it's definitely induced a lot of fear, that's for sure. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who thinks and feels the same way. But it's also highlighted the amount of privilege that I have and blessings that I have in my life. Yes. I've been really fortunate to be able to come back to a safe home surrounded by loving family members. Financially, it's been okay for everyone. Nothing too drastic has happened. But I know for many other people, that's not the case, and that this is a really hard time full of a lot of suffering. And so I think the conversation right now is a lot about what can we do to help others from a distance.
Makes sense. Absolutely. Yeah, I know. You just continually hear, especially in the last little bit, we've heard more and more cases are happening in the United States. Although we might call it a second wave, it certainly has been maybe a continuation of the first. I don't really know, but I appreciate what you said about the angle of privilege, because we do know that so many essential workers who have to work regardless or can't work remotely, are affected by this. This summer, you're doing some work. I know you're working for Campus Ministries, for one, remotely. Are you doing something else remotely as well?
I am, yes. So I'm the individual giving intern for this nonprofit in the California Bay Area called Life Moves. And they focus on helping the homeless population in the Bay Area and helping to transition them into permanent housing. The idea is to focus on whole person care, not just providing a bed, and which is actually going to be really important in this upcoming year, because due to COVID alone, homelessness is expected to increase by 40% this year.
And yeah. I'm not surprised by that, but that's the numbers are staggering then. So, well, I'm really glad. I'm sure you're going to be a huge asset to that organization. as an intern, but that's tremendous work that you're doing. So, and it goes along with your sort of your call as a priest, I would imagine, too, because it's really helping those. Does that organization focus on families, or does it focus on individuals, or all of the above? Or
all of the above, actually. It's really amazing. They have different shelters for family sites and then different shelters for individual sites. And then they even have shelters that primarily focus on LGBTQ plus homeless and making sure that they get provided a safe space where they feel welcomed and comfortable to be who they are.
Yeah, that's really excellent. That's excellent. So there's so many things going on in my mind as you were describing that. Not only is COVID affecting our lives, but you know, there is racial justice, and if I don't know whether it's appropriate to call it tension, but certainly there are protests going on across the country and around the world for that matter. So, you know, COVID and racial, the seeking of racial justice are both not just the United States, but around the world. So how do you perceive what's going on in the other things going on in the world, like the racial justice issues? How are they impacting you, or are they?
They're ever prevalent. They're definitely on my mind. I think there's a lot of suffering going on right now. Racial injustice is COVID, but with racial injustice and the systemic oppression specifically, it's always been here. And so I think what's happening right now is a lot of self-reflection amongst the privileged folk, myself included. Which is a really difficult process, I think. It's difficult for me, and I had already tried to keep an open mind, but it's still a learning experience. And I think what's happening is we're grieving, right? We finally are seeing the suffering for what it is. We're realizing how corrupt the system is. We're seeing the brutality, the violence, the pain. And I think we're grieving this idea that we had as a country that we were so special, or that we were in a safe place, or the United States was different than everywhere else. And I think it's a harsh wake-up call, and even harsher amidst a pandemic.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I know I find myself as I'll say middle-aged white guy. I'm not sure I'm middle-aged anymore as I creep up older and older, but I totally get that, because I mean, grieving, especially, I thank you for saying that, because I recognized several years ago that I have privilege as a sort of a middle-aged, middle American white guy. And, you know, that's one thing to accept it, but then when you start looking at racial injustice, and you said it's been around for, I think you said forever, in our American history, I mean, it's really before the beginning of the nation, you know, for 400 years, there's been the systemic racism. And I don't know. It's overwhelming sometimes, exactly when you think about it, or when you talk about that. So, you know, the other thing you mentioned as a part of your internship was the homelessness for the LGBTQ plus community. And, you know, this is June. It's June of 2020. So, you know, this is actually Pride Month. So, you know, what about those issues? I mean, there have been recent developments in that as well. I don't know if you're sort of keeping up on those issues, but
I think it's especially important right now with this particular Pride Month of this year, in the midst of the racial protests that are going on right now, to acknowledge that Black lives that belong to the LGBTQ plus community. This is like, we're beginning to get into the topic of intersectionality. Breonna Taylor, for example, was killed in her own home, but the protests started with George Floyd, right? And often people are much more upset about the killing of Black men. And so then there's just this discussion on how do we transition to focusing on Black trans lives, or Black people who are part of the LGBTQ plus community, and making sure that we give them the same gumption and power and response as everybody else, because their lives are just as valuable.
Wow. Heavy stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you think these things, you've been in campus ministries and going into the Council of House Chaplains president for next year. Do you see these things impacting Graceland next year?
I honestly don't see how they couldn't.
I was just going to say, we know COVID-19 is going to, because mm-hmm. we've already seen some rules, but what about the other things? I didn't mean to interrupt. But...
no worries. I think if we acknowledged systemic racism to be as prevalent and contagious as COVID-19, we would just be getting to the surface of how in-depth and real it is. I think it's, even though Graceland's isolated, it's in rural southern Iowa and it's easy to forget, it is very much so a part of the rest of the world. And people are bringing these things from their homes back to Graceland and they're carrying these heavy experiences and we don't know what their home life was like when they show up and we all have to interact together.
Yeah, I think about the fall and what that's going to bring and, think about not only COVID-19 and how we're sort of making plans for that, but then thinking, what is it that campus ministries and Community of Christ, because that's our sort of take on campus ministries, mm-hmm. how do we support all these different people? I say different, just that sounds like my white racism. I don't mean it that way, but how do we ally ourselves? How do we help people who are people of color, people of different sexual orientations and those folks when they get back on campus? Because I would imagine some of the students have probably had a tough summer. I don't know. I haven't kept in touch with a lot of students over the summer, but I know, what you were sharing is that's part of it. So it's.
Exactly. I think a lot of people's home life is not safe for them. And so maybe coming back to Graceland is something that they're really looking forward to. But I had heard this excellent metaphor, so I can't take credit for it. But they're talking about how, you do that. If you were going to go breathe underwater, you could do the right motion. You could try to fill up your lungs. You could open your mouth, relax, breathe out. But you wouldn't be getting any oxygen. The problem there is the environment. Right? Sometimes people are in the wrong environment and they're doing all of the right things, but that place isn't safe. It isn't giving them oxygen. It's not good for them. And so I'm hoping as we get into Graceland, this Council of House Chaplains president and with Campus Ministries team, is to try and give people that space for them to breathe easy.
That's really an excellent metaphor. It's easy to see how some of these also relate to the mission of Christ or the mission of Community of Christ, if you will. So have you had thoughts about how all of this or any of these in particular relate to Christ's mission, either based in, what I think about Jesus's mission statement, if you will, based in Luke 4, 18 through 19, or even the more contemporary, mission initiatives that the church has adopted. Do you see how those are related?
I think it's hard to see how they're not related.
Yeah. I guess I never really thought that might be a trick question. I didn't really mean it that way. But yeah.
No, I think this is an excellent time for Christians and people who are figuring out their spirituality or are part of another religious organization to kind of, in a blunt way, put their money where their mouth is. And I think that we can say these beautiful things and to agree and abolish poverty and suffering and develop disciples to serve and pursue peace. But it's really easy to hide behind these broad general statements in the comfort of your home. So if anything, I'm hoping that what's going on with the racial injustices and the pandemic is that it's going to push us to be uncomfortable as we continue to try and figure out what ministry looks like today, which I think is challenging and scary. And obviously change is new and difficult, but what I've seen in these past couple months has been extraordinary. I mean, in all honesty, Mike, if you would have told me 4 months ago that I was going to be seeing all of my congregational members via video chat on a computer, I would have told you there's no way they can figure that out. Yeah. And yet every Sunday I get to see 60 beautiful faces figuring out Zoom and worshiping together remotely.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's very cool. Yeah, so that's a great example of how things are changing and impacting the church. So it's like, yeah, so thinking a little about further out, and you've touched on it already probably, so, you know, where do you see the church going in the future? I mean, you know, it's certainly addressing the issues right in front of us, but maybe there's other issues or other concerns or things out there in the future. What do you think about that in the future?
While I definitely do love to think of the future, it's really hard to not be thinking of right now.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I think as we think about the future, we should think about what we can be doing now that will impact it later. And we got to have a nice conversation about this with where do we think that the church is going. And I just envisioned this community of Christ that helped people with the day-to-day aspects of ministry, that gives people examples or encouragement or ideas on how they can be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, but on the micro level, the day-to-day level, on the trip to the grocery store, or you teach your kids to go sit next to the first grader who's alone, right? And acknowledging that that's the Holy Spirit moving within us, even if we can't solve these systemic problems on our own.
That's really good advice, because I know even in my experience at Graceland, every now and then I will notice a student sitting by themselves, and some students are okay with that, but it also might be a place. And I, you know, when we think about COVID-19 and coming back to campus, I know that some of the students are likely to be isolated. I mean, they may choose not to have roommates this year because of the impact of the pandemic. And you know, so I think those are wise words, Georgia, because not only as a first grader, but, you know, a first year student who ends up in a room by themselves could be incredibly lonely. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's
it. Yeah. I think it's easy to get overwhelmed with looking at the big structural change and the future and the things that we can do now. But I mean, Graceland University just put into place the social change major with two
new people,
right? How impactful is that to create generations of leaders that are equipped to deal with the future that we are always thinking about?
Yes, I am. When I saw that announcement, I knew it was under consideration, but I didn't know it got approved by the Board of Trustees. That's excellent. Yeah, the social change. And I don't remember the minors, but the minors are almost as exciting as, I think, one had to do with race and one had to do with sexuality. I mean, so it's like...
Exactly.
Right where we are today in some ways. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's perfect. If the community of Christ and Graceland students can really lean into this idea of positive change, then I feel like we will be as children of God, as church members, as classmates, as citizens, we will be more prepared to address these things, and so that we can take down together these big structural institutions of racism and oppression and neglect.
Yeah. And those are big issues. Who do you, do you see us, is there anybody in particular you see us partnering with in the future to do that? I mean, is there, you work for this, you're doing an internship for this organization, but is there any, I don't know, I don't mean necessarily specifics, but I don't know. What do you have in mind? I mean, is there?
Well, last year I got to be the interfaith director, I think is the title. I think it would be really powerful to see all of these organized religions and churches getting together to work towards this mission of abolishing poverty and ending suffering. And even though maybe like the beliefs are different and the religions are completely different, there is this underlying idea that we're all connected and world peace should be a goal, and nobody should have needless suffering. And so I think it would be amazing as a church if we were able to find other churches and to work together and to seek community with all of God's people, even if their beliefs don't directly reflect ours.
Absolutely. I knew you had an interest in interfaith when we first started working together a couple of years ago. So that doesn't really surprise me that you had that experience. In fact, So are there other things that are stirring your soul right now? I mean, in terms of, I don't know, we covered some big topics, but it's like, oh, is there anything else? I mean, what excites you most about your major? I mean, where it goes in the future and that kind of thing.
I was most excited about the Hispanic Studies major because I love communicating with other people. I originally fell in love with the Spanish language in high school, but obviously high schools aren't equipped with the best resources and tools, and teachers' lives are stressful, and that doesn't end when you get to college. But I was really lucky to have an amazing Hispanic Studies professor at Graceland. And being able to connect with people from other parts of the world, in different regions, or even just in the United States by demonstrating that I care enough about them to learn their language, I think can be a powerful thing. Something that I'm hoping in the future is that the United States recognizes as a whole that we are not called to be isolationists. That even though it's kind of easy to forget because we're only surrounded by two different countries and one of them speaks the same language as us, the world is a diverse place. And it's a really powerful ministry, I think, to take that time and learn to speak and be with others.
So in your Hispanic Studies program, did you get a chance to travel at all before the pandemic?
Yes, actually I did. So last summer I got to go on an experiential learning trip to San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Which was amazing. We even did, we had a little service day where we helped this Waldorf school in San Juan help to rebuild a shed so they could store their supplies without it getting wet when it rains. They have those torrential rainfalls in Puerto Rico and how we can kind of protect that. And that was a really powerful experience because the United States denies Puerto Rico often. Right? It's an example of this relationship where they just exploit this island for profit. And in high school and throughout all of my education, they never even mentioned that Puerto Rico is essentially a U.S. colony. But getting there and getting to be a part of the culture and speak the language, you just realize how powerful of a group they are, and how independent they are and smart and the things that they have to offer. And it's just another example of how this isolationist behavior that we have can be really detrimental to not just ourselves and the things that we learn, but to those around us, and how there's still a lot of work to be done to make sure that we are global citizens.
Mm-hmm. I always wanted to go to Puerto Rico. I thought it sounded like an incredible part of it. I don't think when I first thought that I even knew it was part of the United States. I think that's been part of my
exactly.
adult life that I've learned that. I mean, I knew it existed and that. So I appreciate what you said about that. So I think that's great advice in terms of being open and learning from other people and the importance of learning another language and not just the language. It sounds like you also were learning about their culture while you were there and those kinds of things. So that's excellent. So I know you're from California. So, have you been able to use those language skills in California, or was that just not possible? I don't know.
So actually, I think there might be more Spanish speakers than English speakers in California. I know that's definitely true for some regions. And if that is incorrect, and I apologize if it is, it's definitely the second most common language.
Absolutely, sure.
And by 2050, I think there will be more Spanish speakers in the United States than English speakers.
Wow.
So it's amazing that you can find it just about anywhere. But one of the most exciting blessings that I've had in my life was showing up to Graceland and using Spanish more than I ever have in my life with the Graceland University students, because they do an excellent job recruiting people from all over the world. Last year, one of my best friends was from Colombia, and I got to practice speaking Spanish with him. And people are so kind and generous with that Graceland attitude that they were willing to let me fumble along as I tried to connect with them.
Excellent, excellent. So do you see that, you talk about Graceland, how do you see that impacting Community of Christ? I mean, we have a world conference coming up in 2022, everything working out, like, you know, assuming the pandemic might be over or waning enough that we could do that, or finding other options. But what about your, you know, your Spanish and your introduction? Do you see yourself getting involved in, I don't know, international or conferences or things like that, like World Conference?
I hope so. Last World Conference, I got a couple of amazing opportunities to speak and read and sing in Spanish to participate in the services. And that opened a whole new door of Community of Christ members, because then people who traveled all the way across the world to come visit for World Conference, whose first language is Spanish, came up to me and said, thank you for speaking or singing and sharing. But it was in Spanish. And it was the first time that someone had felt comfortable enough to approach me in their native language, as opposed to assuming that I only knew English. And that was such an exciting moment and blessing, and I could just really feel, especially in that environment, like what we were talking about, I could really feel the Spirit moving, like, between us as we saw each other and loved each other as equals, as neighbors, as brothers and sisters.
That's amazing. That's really cool that you had that experience. I know world conferences are always just so amazing to me, and the fact that a relatively small denomination in terms of global churches and organizations, we have so many different countries represented and so many different languages and experience. It is truly a remarkable experience.
I agree.
So is there anything you'd like to say about Christ's mission, the present, the future, as we close our time together? Is there anything else that you would like to share?
I think I'll just have to say, just one little going away message is to not give up hope. Just as we were talking about, all of this is extremely overwhelming, and I can see how it feels like we are breathing underwater. But I think if maybe we think we're doing all the right things, and we're praying and we're going to church on Zoom church on Sundays, but we still aren't feeling connected to the Spirit, that it's okay to try and change up your environment. Anything so that you can help and breathe easy and allow the Holy Spirit to breathe in and out of you. It's really easy to get tired and discouraged and to want to stop and give up or to look away, but God calls us to look and to act and to be there. And we have an excellent support group of this Community of Christ Church that is all here for each other. And I think if we can really support each other the way that we're called to, that together we can get through this.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing. Georgia Seagraves, I look forward to seeing you on campus in a few weeks, actually. And of course, we'll probably be hidden behind masks, so we'll have to know that. But it'll be a great experience, and we can sit down in the swarm and have coffee for real.
So, I can't wait.
Yeah, great. Thank you for spending time with us today with me. So,
thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use. And while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.